When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Cosmic Channels is recorded live on YouTube, Kick, Twitch, Facebook, and Instagram every Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Welcome to Cosmic Channels. I'm your host, Braden. The cosmic lines are officially open. Buckle up tonight because we want to hear your mind-blowing tales. Have you ever witnessed a UFO, come face-to-face with an extraterrestrial being, or encountered something spine-chillingly paranormal? Maybe Bigfoot made a surprise appearance in your life. Whether you've got a jaw-dropping story or a wild conspiracy theory, grab the spotlight and call us at 1-833-703-0424. That's 1-833-703-0424 to share your experiences live on Cosmic Channels. The cosmic stage is yours, and don't miss your chance to be part of the cosmic conversation. Just before we get into tonight's episode, quick apology to everyone. I kind of messed up the audio in this one for the first 20 minutes. So the first two callers, the audio is a little rough. After that, it's smooth sailing. But without further ado, let's bring on the first caller. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
It's Invalid ID calling, to kick things off. Woo! Just you talking to yourself.
No, good. Yeah. I start to feel like a crazy person. Thanks for calling in. You sound much better this time. I think I got everything, all the settings dialed in. I did treat myself. I gotta say, I treated myself to a new mixer. So I think it's doing wonders as the show can probably hear. What do you got for us tonight, Invalid ID?
I have, an entity.
Oh.
I don't really know what to call it. I have a theory, but I'll leave that for the end.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, so this is something that I would see all the time when I lived at the last place that they were at. So I just moved about 8 months ago. So it was about 7 years, of constantly seeing this thing all the time. And thought it was something maybe with my eyes or something like that. But after moving, I've never seen it again. So I'm not too concerned that it's around me anymore, and that's fine.
Yeah, okay.
But the place that I moved from, the living room of the house was on ground level. And it was one of those rooms where you had windows on one wall, and then they continued down the connecting wall on the other side. So they're kind of cornered around. And then the back of the house was second story back with like no deck or anything, no access. It was quite a drop down to a concrete pad. And I'm just saying that because there's only two areas that I ever saw this, and it was always outside of the windows. But the front windows and the back windows, there was the only way I can describe it would be like the predator kind of shimmer.
Like a
movement.
Like something was wearing active camouflage.
Yeah, but not even that. Just that's the only way you could see it.
Okay.
And then if you like speed up a video to maybe like one times or two times the speed of normal, so it's a little bit sped up, but not super fast. And it would only ever move back and forth around those front windows. And then on the back of the house, you could see it right out the bedroom window. Like it was like ground level for the bedroom window. So, and this just happened all the time. I was the only person that could ever see it. And again, I just thought, okay, I'm just going crazy or something with my eyes and the glass or whatever, but it's just, it's never been again. So, but it was 7 years of that, and that was creepy.
And how old were you approximately, like at the heyday of it?
How old?
Yeah.
Oh, full adult.
A full adult. Oh, wow. So this this is something you were kidding. And other people, no one.
I'm an oldie.
No one else had an experience?
No. There's five other people living in that house.
And nothing other than just kind of like that almost apparition, like almost see-through. That just see it like no.
But again, it's like not ghosts. Like there was like just, it was something. Like it was like an entity. You couldn't quite see shape or anything like that.
And was it inside the house too, or just outside?
Just outside those windows. Just kind of like, it would almost be like pacing, like it was purposely moving.
Like looking in. Oh, that's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think it is? I'm curious.
Okay, well, so full disclosure, on that street, there had been a recentish murder within the past 20 years. We didn't know that when we moved there.
So maybe a wandering spirit looking for help.
Yeah, but I'm actually thinking that this was like a thinning area where maybe it was more of an interdimensional layering or stone tape interdimensional, where the layout of the land was a little bit
different,
you know, but so it would be just solid ground all one level that thing was walking on and just kind of seeing through to either something stone taped or interdimensional that way.
It's very interesting. It does remind me of a story in one of David Politis's Missing 411. I think it's like The Hunter and the Hunted or something like that.
The lady with the tree.
Yes, right? Is that...
Husband of the photographer or the guy that worked with photo, like photophysics of some type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is that, when I'm thinking now that you're familiar with the story, is that kind of like when you've read that account, do you think the same thing?
Yeah, because like she mentions too that whole like predatory thing, and it's just, it's hard. It's like the only way, like, or like thin crystal or something, you know, like that type of a shimmer. So
yeah, it's very unique. That's why it like instantly came to my mind with that, because when you read that account, if anyone hasn't hashtag checked it out, Missing 411, I think it's called The Hunter and the Hunted or something. I think that's the
title
of the book.
Yeah, I think it's in that. Yeah,
and it's purely like hunter stories and stuff, and I'm pretty sure it's the first one in that book. But yeah, the same account, that same shimmering, and they just said this, they felt watched, they felt, you know, they just in, and it's very similar to what you're describing. So it's fascinating. So I'm curious to see how many people have, you know, also seen this now in it, and it just stayed, like it wasn't fleeting or anything. Like you could kind of stand and watch it for a moment.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And any time, like, so if it was happening in the living room, I could get up, walk to the bedroom, and then I would see it out that back window again.
Did you ever investigate it closer up, like go outside, or was it just too much of a freaky thing?
There was nothing. Nope, there was nothing there.
Oh, you just went out there and nothing. Wow.
Yep. Yeah, because this would be like daytime, all the time in the daytime.
And somebody, like, no, someone in the chat, I always... You know, try to ask questions of the chat. Someone say like no mosaic window or anything, just normal window.
No, okay. No normal pane. Yeah. Normal pane.
Cause yeah, even I was thinking, you know, sometimes those front door ones have those like weird crystally ones.
Yeah, no. That, it was just complete, just normal.
Just a normal pane window. That's fascinating. Yeah. Now was this, in Victoria?
Yes.
See, that's interesting. Cause Fort Victoria's like, I think it's like underrated for how haunted that city is.
It's so underrated. And then when you get to the outskirts, all the development and stuff, the what people experience in their homes now.
Because I don't know if you're, there's a Vancouver Island like folklore and ghost stories Facebook group.
It.
Yeah. And there's tons. Yeah. There's always tons popping off in Victoria. I'm always like, oh, it's a little hotbed. And then you mix it with all the, you know, the Masonic stuff going on there, and you know, it's rumored to be one of like the second largest collection of satanic worshipers in the world. You know, weird stuff going on in Victoria, BC.
Yeah.
It's So
absolutely. Yeah.
Very fascinating. But thank you for calling in and sharing that story.
Of course. Okay. Get more calls going.
Yeah. Take care of yourself.
Okay. Bye, guys. Bye.
Absolutely fascinating. I'm curious as the show grows, I hope to get more and more hunters on too. Cause like people in the woods and hiking and stuff see terrifying things all the time, but just like that, the lines are open. 1-833-703-0424. You got a story, you've seen a ghost when you were a kid. I even accept one absolute dream call a night. So you have a weird dream that's been sitting with you. I accept one of those a night. I'll hang up on all the others after, but you got one, the first one. The Cosmic Channels, people are asking, what's the new number? No new number. Same number, 1-833-703-0424. And just like that, we got a call on the line. Let's go to the caller. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, my name is Dylan, and I'm calling from North Carolina.
Hey, Dylan, you've called before, right? You sound familiar.
Yeah, I called a couple of weeks ago. Beauty. About the Skinwalker.
Yes, yes. How's it going?
I'm doing good.
Is this really Dylan? That's what I have to ask. I just want to make sure you haven't been taken over.
Oh, yeah. Nah, this is Dylan. I listened to the episode that I called in on, and I realized that I didn't answer one of your questions. You asked how tall it was.
Yeah.
And it was like pretty much double the size of my car from the distance that I saw it. So it's probably like 8 or 9 feet tall.
8 or 9 feet tall. That's wild. I've had a lot of messages about that call. People just being like, what was it? I need to know.
It's insane.
Yeah. And it's so weird that it still haunts you. So just a little recap for people who didn't listen. Dylan was driving his car. He was on the coffee, black coffee. No drugs or alcohol in the system. Comes around a corner, thinks he sees something, maybe a bike. And it's a giant 8-foot creature of some sort standing there that leaps into the woods. Did I sum it up pretty good?
Yeah, that was exactly.
And it's fascinating. And again, how long ago did that happen to you?
Oh, it was September 25th. So it's like 3 or 4 months ago.
That's so weird. That's so wild, man, that it's just that recent. I'm so curious. North Carolina, I almost have to dig in now to see like what, you know, I should have looked up, maybe I can do it on the fly, North Carolina cryptids. I wonder if anyone has anything like, there's a top 10 cryptid still lurking around North Carolina. There's the Cape Fear mermaids. I don't think that's it. The Moon Eye people, the Beast of Bladenborough, the Wampus Cat, Boojum, Normie. I don't know what Normie is. Knobbly and Skunky.
Yeah,
but none of those really, you know, like what you say you saw really looked like. It sounds like a skinwalker or like, I would say a skinwalker or a tall gray man. Like those are the only two things where I was like, you know, the skinwalker running and like jumping, leaping, that kind of leans towards more skinwalker for me. It's just so weird that this is stuck with you. Like you're just still looking for answers.
Yeah, it's so like I can still like see what I saw. Like I can't usually picture things, but I can like still vividly see it because it was just like I don't know what it was, and I was just so confused in the moment. I drove for like 10 minutes with just I was like with my mouth open, just like what did I just see?
Yeah, that's absolutely wild. Thanks for calling back and giving us the update. Can I give you some homework just out of curiosity?
For sure.
Can you, the next time, and no rush on this, just email me at cosmicchannelspodcast@gmail.com. Can you take a picture of the area?
Yeah, definitely. I'll drive by there.
Of the area, and then maybe just send me a ping on a map, just in case there's other people in North Carolina that, you know, maybe want to go snoop around or peek around, or maybe they live in that area and they want to, you know, take a little detour to go drive down there and just kind of see the area for themselves.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely do that. I actually have another story to tell, if that's okay.
Oh, of course, of course. What do you got for us tonight?
It's not as exciting as the last one, but it was still kind of crazy. So I went to the Blue Ridge Parkway a few years ago. It was like 2 in the morning to watch a lunar eclipse, and as I was sitting there, like as the shadow was about to go onto the moon, I saw this bright white light up in the sky, like very high. It wasn't low enough to be like an airplane or anything. It was like, at first I thought that it was a satellite because it was moving so fluidly and it was just staying the same and it was just bright. And then all of a sudden it just takes a left and then it just goes right and then it like stops and then it goes left again and then it just zigzags for a little bit and then it straightens back up and then it just went until I couldn't see it anymore.
Man, that's it's so interesting that you bring that one up. Like, Dylan, I love when you call because you seem to always call with an interesting story or an on-topic story of something that I've been currently looking into. That description of like this light that moves, I'm like, did it pause as well? Like,
yeah, I was like, I thought that it was like maybe checking something out because it didn't like stop for a long time, but it would like take a pause and then it would go back right, still moving forward, but right. It's like moving forward but zigzagging.
There's because there's like we've talked about on our other show Alien Theorists theorizing like different light phenomenon and stuff like Australia has the Nimmin.
Oh yeah,
Nimmin lights. And then we've talked about the Brown Mountain lights, but like the one we're going to talk about the next case while we do, it's called the Hess-Dahlin lights. And it's crazy to me that it's not more widely known, and I had never known about it before then. If anyone here is listening and you're interested in the most wild light phenomenon you've ever heard of, Hess-Dahlin lights in Norway is exactly what you describe. And they have, to this day, they have no, like, they actually have caught this. It's so regularly occurring in Norway. They have a bunch of theories of maybe what it is. And one of them's even being intelligent craft, like space, like someone's like, they'd be like, this is aliens until proven otherwise. And it's the same thing. Like people see these lights coming and going and then they stop, they'll fly at people, stop in the sky, then just fade out. People have caught them on long exposure, like photos, and you just see the zipping around like in the photo. It's absolutely phenomenal, like an unbelievable sight. But it did get me wondering. I was like, whatever is happening there, and then this happens regularly in Norway, in the Hess-Dahlin Valley. I've always started to kind of wonder now if like whatever's happening there, is there some sort of light phenomenon that we just have no idea about that kind of sparks off in other places, right? And what causes it? Like maybe Dan and I were kind of going back and forth of like, people always say like the hollow earth is where, these beings come into Earth like from another dimension or whatever, but we were like, maybe it's not a physical thing, and when they come across like this, the lights is the only thing that we get, much like when the auroras kick off, right? It's like our magnetic field bouncing off dangerous x-rays and radiation from the sun. Maybe this is like a leftover from something coming across to our side.
Yeah, definitely. It's really amazing how many things like we can actually see, like as we're living this life, like we don't know about some things and it's just like a mystery, but some of us will see something that's like, it hints at it.
Yes. Yeah, it's fascinating. So how long ago was this that you saw this?
It was about, it was in the winter of 2020, I'm pretty sure.
I've always said like the winter I think is a better time to see stuff in the sky because it's just quieter.
Yeah, I feel like you can see like it's more clear and everything.
Yeah, you get like those really clear winter nights I find are way better for going out and keeping those eyes on the skies. But I'll tell everyone again. I've said it for almost 400 episodes on another podcast, but like you go out there and you keep those eyes in the skies, you sit out there, put a blanket out, and just sit in low light pollution area and you sit and watch a big sky for 2 hours, you're going to see something, a light or something. Definitely. That you go, okay, satellite, that's a satellite, that's a satellite, shooting star. And then you'll see something, you go, what the fuck was that? I have no idea what that was. It'll be in a weird trajectory. It's not a plane. Like you will see some weird shit. Just go and spend the time looking at the skies.
Oh yeah, if you have the time and the ability, it's definitely an amazing thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Dylan, thank you for calling in about with your potential UFO, potential light phenomenon. I appreciate it.
Definitely. I'm always going out at night now, like after I saw the skinwalker, whatever it was, like I'm always going and driving at night just so that hopefully I can see something. Again.
You're a brave man. You've set up, buddy, you're going to have to rig up your vehicle like Rick Dyer hunted for Bigfoot, get some dash cams and floodlights.
After I saw it, I did get a GoPro, and now I have a mount on my car. So if I go driving, like I've been recording it every single time.
That's so wild, man! When you get something on there, send it in. And listen, if you got a GoPro, if you got a GoPro mounted, the next time you drive that route, just film yourself driving that route, because I would love that footage so then I could edit it to your story for a clip.
That's awesome. I'll definitely do that.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Dylan.
Definitely. Hopefully I'll get to see something again and I'll get to call back on the show.
Perfect. Take care of yourself.
You too. Bye.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? And sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object. Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Oh, dude. The fact that this guy is now rigging up his car because he's seen something. It's unbelievable to me. Lines are hot tonight. Let's go back to lines. We got another caller on the line. Cosmic Channels. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, I am Isabella, and I'm calling from Humboldt County, California.
Hey, Isabella. How's it going tonight?
Good. We've called in a few times over the years. Right on, my brother Henry is a constant caller, and we wanted to share, I'm here with my boyfriend Brian, and we wanted to share our UFO, our first official like UFO sighting as adults.
Beautiful. Let's hear it.
Yeah, so last month, you know, winter night, our dog's big on night walks. We were walking through the neighborhood. We live across a cow pasture from an airport, the local municipal airport. And we're very accustomed to aircraft, whether it's going to be like Cal Fire or small commercial planes or private planes and everything. And it was a super clear, crisp night, and we were walking up to the airport. It's like 2-mile hike for the dog at night. And we're going, you got to go through like the neighborhood, which is a suburb. It's got streetlights and houses, and it's very like American. And we're going down the street, and it's a street we go down like every night. And we see, like, I initially thought it, what I thought was like a streetlight. And it was very high in the sky, level with the stars, kind of sinking beneath it. Like I said, super clear night, which is rare. We get a lot of fog up here in NorCal. And it was so bright that the minute I saw it, I was thinking, oh, shit, you know, that's a like new streetlight installed down the street from us, you know. And my boyfriend's like, oh, no, that's not a streetlight. Look how high it is. And so then I start like looking around, and I'm like, okay, well, there's a streetlight. And oh my God, he's right. That thing's like up level with the stars. And it was a very bright, kind of like sunshine yellow color. And so he's like screaming at me, take a picture. Of course, I take the shittiest picture imaginable because I have a Samsung, whatever. And we're looking at it for 30 seconds, and we kind of start jogging with the dog like down the lane. And as we get like closer and we get a clearer view of what this thing is, we kind of stop and we're looking at it, and we notice that it's not just a single like orb. It's actually like, we counted about 12 to 15 separate lights that were all kind of at an angle together in the sky. And they were just sitting there hovering. And the minute, like, I was already a little freaked out about what we were seeing. But then, like, once we started talking about, like, I'm counting out loud, he's counting out loud, and I just totally, like, froze over. And as we're sitting there, like I said, this is about, like, 30 seconds to a minute, babe. Like, it was a pretty extensive time where we're just observing this thing. They start flashing interspersed, like, red and pink lights. And it seems to be, like, a pattern, but not really a pattern. It's kind of indiscriminate. And we're like, oh my God, what's happening? And the lights start going off like more repeatedly amongst the individual crafts. And then within like 10 seconds of the red and pink starting to like operate, they just dimmed and totally disappeared. And at first we thought, you know, because I'm in shock and I'm like, I've never seen anything like this before in my life, except for like all the documentaries and shit we watch. Where I was thinking like, oh, they dimmed and turned off. And it wasn't until we saw like their light trails. I don't really know how else to describe it. It was like we could see they all went forward in different paths. Some of them dropped down. Some of them went straight. Some of them went up directly west in the same direction towards the ocean because we're like 10 minutes from the Pacific.
Yeah.
And that's our story.
Oh, that is wild.
Yeah.
So, sorry, how many? 12 to 20, you said?
Yeah, it was about 12 to 20. I lost track around, like, 15 because I was, like, shaking and kind of emotional because, like, I don't know, we're big believers. And he and I always joke when we go out on these night walks, like, you see anything in the sky? You know, we got a ranch. We go out and we stargaze all the time. Like, and I had so many people telling us, like, oh, it was Starlink and this and that. We know what Starlink looks like. We have like a secret military base out by our ranch. We're very accustomed to like military, like high-end military aircraft. I mean, we've seen everything in the skies at night out here. And I have never in my life seen anything like this before or since.
It's just a couple questions just because I'm curious. We had a caller, I don't know if you heard, I think it was last Cosmic Channels. Anna, she described basically on the East Coast, but she said that she saw more, she was like 80. She thought it was about 80 small crafts kind of shooting out the ocean. Any kind of, after this event, any earthquake, any kind of natural disaster, forest fire, very shortly after this incident that comes up to mind?
Yeah, we had a shit ton. You know, we're in earthquake country up here. We got like a 6.7 around this time last year that really rocked, and then a 6.7 the year before. Like we get big shakers, and those two events actually happened 2021 and 2022 December 21st, the exact same day, Humboldt County was rocked by two earthquakes exactly a year apart. This year we were all on earthquake watch, but we blessedly escaped that. We've had a lot of flooding and a lot of rain over the course of this last month, you know, which is like pretty, it can be typical for this area.
Nothing out of the norm, really.
No, we had like some seismic events, but they were little guys, like 3.5s, 4.0s, like nothing crazy. But what was crazy is because, you know, the town we live in is a little bit of a farm town. And so the community is really tight knit. So we have like a neighborhood watch, you know, and I posted it to our Facebook page like that night. And it's a bunch of like old folks and families that live in our neighborhoods. And we had so many people say that they saw it too. People that were driving on the highway, which is like a couple miles down the hill from where we live, people on the main 101 freeway saw it. People in the neighborhood where we were at had their kids running into their house screaming about it, and they came outside and looked at it. So we had like, I don't know, close to 30 or 50 different people. I submitted a claim or whatever on MUFON, and And then I also wrote to the local news reporters, and they got back to me because they, you know, we have military aircraft up here. So they were like looking at flight plans and stuff, and they weren't seeing anything on radar that could have a comet. So, you know, we did our research on our end to try to figure out what the heck it was, and no idea.
And do you know the date by any chance? Do you know the exact date?
Yeah, I posted, I believe it was December 9th, babe, something like that. It was the week before my birthday, and I posted it on my Facebook and on your guys' Facebook the night it happened.
And what was the year?
It was last month. Yeah, last it was 2023. Month? Oh, yeah, okay. we're like just about a month out from when it...
I'm just going to quickly flip to that date in the MUFON database just to see if there is anything that was submitted at that time. While I'm searching, the other thing I wanted to ask was these things are shooting out towards the ocean. You know, there's been a lot of talk. Like, I would say, like, one of the hotbed things is, like, these transmediums, right, that, like, go in and out of the water.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, for sure.
And what do you think? Do you think there's something out there in the Pacific for them? Like, that's why they're headed that way?
I mean, where they were positioned was directly above the river, because we also have a river right nearby here. And so they were already, like, level with the river, essentially, out, like, above it, altitude-wise. And, like, it was very clear that they were going directly to the ocean, because we are, like, right on the ocean where we live. And so, yeah, they were definitely below, like, a few thousand feet altitude-wise. But what was, I totally lend, anytime you're talking about a technology that's more advanced than ours, whether it's terrestrial or whether it's extraterrestrial, you know, between all those Tic Tac videos, the gimbal and everything like that, you know, was it Fravor? Yeah, I think it was Fravor who was talking about how he observed it in the water and come out of the water. So, I mean, I don't know what it would be used for, but
we even talked to Kevin Day, the radar operator, who said, like, these things, you know, went from water level, like, straight up, right, to, like, 20,000 feet or whatever, like, in an instant. So, like, and then they would lose them, right? So
I could not believe, like, it was like my brain wasn't computing what I was seeing, because I literally just thought I was seeing lights dimming until my boyfriend was saying, no, there's a distance. The distance between us is growing. Like, he was being very logical about it. And I was like, kind of like I wasn't in hysterics, but I was definitely like, oh my God, this is a spiritual experience. You know, I was like, this is, oh my God, babe. And he's like, no, they're not turning off. They're dimming with distance. And they went from, like, you know, I don't know of any aircraft besides a helicopter that hovers and can sustain hovering at that altitude for any extensive period of time without sound, without any kind of noise or volume or any, like, lights that are distinguishable for a helicopter, for something that we have, that we know. And also, I don't know of anything that can go from that stationary to such an incredible speed that they were literally out of sight.
Well, I mean, we could probably have something like that, except it would just liquefy the person operating it. That's the problem. Like, that's the problem when you see things that accelerate like that.
Or make some kind of boom, you know, like some kind, like, we have those, my sister's boyfriend, not to, like, go off on a tangent here, but he had what he thought was, like, they have a grow out in the hills, because, you know, Humboldt, we've got a ton of weed grows out here, and he was out watering the plants in the dead of night, which is a very Humboldt thing, and he heard something hovering, and it was maybe 500 feet above him. And he looked up, and he would have sworn it was a saucer if he didn't see the shape of it. And it happened to be one of those, like, military aircraft. I don't know what they're called, like Phoenixes or something. And they're, like, triangle-shaped, and they're, like, radar-impenetrable. So, like, the whatever, like, substance they use, it can be cloaked by radar.
Yeah.
And so it flew directly over him, and he said even when it flew over him, like, he could tell it was military.
Like,
and
he,
then they
he
looked
knew it
at
was
the
ours.
Flight plan. yeah, exactly. Like, and he heard it.
So,
and it was like something at this elevation or altitude, we would have heard something.
So after you know, seeing this, like, what is your thoughts? I know you said you're a firm believer, but like, what do you think they're doing here?
No idea, man. I mean, like, we're big believers. I've been watching the X-Files since I was like a 5-year-old. You know, we're big up. We stay up to date on all our UFOs. We watch the congressional stuff, even though there's not much to be had from it.
Yeah.
We find it interesting. Both Brian and I find it interesting that the government seems to be, what's going on right now with our government and the transparency that we're finally having access to all of these military records and everything. I strongly believe, like, you know, I'm a social worker, so I know, like, soft openings, like how to plant seeds to make people change and grow in positive ways. And I kind of feel like the government's handling this like a social worker would, right? Like, they're planting seeds, they're getting us comfortable, just like I'm doing with someone who's like in the midst of an addiction and they don't want to go to inpatient rehab, right?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, let's start by educating you and making a little awareness and making acceptance, you know, a little more socially appropriate and kind of taking baby steps towards what I believe is the inevitable, that eventually we're going to get, if we don't have it already, which I do think we have it already, I just don't think our government believes that the general population could really,
I don't even know if I necessarily believe the government doesn't believe we're ready for it. I think they don't want other countries to know that they might have advanced capabilities. I think it's more of a military thing. That's why they keep it under wraps.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah,
I totally agree.
I don't necessarily buy that they're like, the public's not ready. I'm like, they're like, we can't let Russia know. they don't know which one we have.
Yeah, I think that's definitely you. Like, that explanation is kind of used as a scapegoat, whereas like, they don't know, they can't explain it. And ultimately what it means, right? Like, what it comes down to is we are not, you know, the U.S., Canada, whatever wealth of nations you want to say, we are not the most powerful thing on this planet. And I think that would really rock some people to the core.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Isabel,
the fact that
thank you so much for calling. I got another line
you're
on
welcome,
hold here
dude.
And they're,
yeah,
I just,
go
they're
for
just
it.
Coming up to the hold limit. So I just want to get them on too. Thank you so
go
much for calling
it,
having
buddy.
A great conversation. Make sure call again. We'll have another conversation about UFOs and stuff. Fascinating. I next time you see some, call back in. I love it. Love to hear about it.
Will do, brother.
Thank
Take
you.
Take it easy, you guys.
So much for calling in. Take care of yourself.
Bye.
It's awesome. I love when people call in with genuine UFO sightings and then have a passion for it. Let's get right to another. The call lines are hot. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Zach in North Bay.
What's going on? Where's North Bay for me? I have no idea where that is.
North Bay, Ontario,
oh,
way up
perfect.
North in Canada.
Yeah, I should have known. I heard a little Canadian twang on there. What's going on, buddy? What are you calling? What do you got for us tonight?
All right, so I actually got two. I don't know if I'm limited to one or not, but
we'll see how long the first one goes. And
all right, cool. So this one happened to me in 2001, I think. Yeah, 2001, 2002. I was 11 or 12 years old. So it was like, well, before, you know, we learned how to have fun with the smoky smoke and the liquid courage there, right? So,
yeah.
It was like January, February, really, really, really late at night. It was like a community event. Where everybody went out all day ice fishing, and then, like, you know, there was like 150 people gathered at the town hall for this little tiny community that I grew up in, Tilden Lake. You know, it was kind of getting late and I was getting a little tired and whatever, but I went outside to get some fresh air, and it was just me all alone out in the parking lot, and I looked up in the sky, and it was just like this absence, like this void. you know, like just like undescribable. Like there was no shape to it. There was no, it was just like a absence of everything. It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in my life.
Like a Vanta Black looking just like object up there blocking the stars?
No, it was like the opposite, like blacker than Vanta Black, like the opposite of it.
Like bright?
No, like dark. It was, it's hard to explain. It wasn't like that hard, dark of Vanta Black.
Yeah, okay.
But it wasn't like a matte black. It wasn't a metallic black. It was just like the absence of...
of light.
Of everything. It was weird.
And how
long... It was weird. It didn't make any noise. It didn't do anything. It was weird enough that I, 11, 12-year-old me saw it, and I was like, this fucking weird. And I went inside, and I didn't tell anybody. I didn't whatever, you know, but it was clear. I was clear. It was like the coldest night of the year. Brightest stars you could ever see. The big moon, you know, half, three-quarter moon over in the corner. And just, like, a void.
Did you get that oh no feeling, or like, you know, maybe I shouldn't stay out here, like any danger, you know, you get, sometimes you just get that natural, like, maybe this might be dangerous.
I don't know. I wouldn't say like danger, but it was like, you know, kind of like, you know, it's like catching your Christmas gifts early, you know, like something you shouldn't have seen.
Okay. Yeah. You're just like, this confusion. That's so weird, man. I've never heard of something like that, but I can just picture like going out and you're just like, you know, something's there, but you can't, there's no like actual, it's not like you can see it. I get what you're saying now, but you're like, you can just see the void.
Yeah, it's just like nothing.
Now, thinking back on this, do you like, you know, what do you think it is? Do you think it's a UFO? Do you think maybe you caught a glimpse of like some sort of portal phenomenon? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I don't know really, but I think maybe some kind of like craft, or maybe some kind of shielding tech, or maybe like the opposite end of like a black hole or something.
Yeah,
just like a window for however amount of time, just the perfect alignment at the perfect time.
It is such a unique story. Just the void, like it just gives me kind of the heebie-jeebies of like imagining going outside my trailer right now and see, you know, like it's snowing here, then looking up and be like, hey, there's no snow just right above me, what the fuck, and just seeing like a black, you know, something's like obviously up there. It's terrifying. So it is a little spooky. Especially 12 year old you, like, I don't know why you wouldn't go, like, you know, hightail it. You're just kind of like confused about it. I guess you don't know that much at 12. You said no sound though, completely silent, right?
Yeah, it was just like, you know, just normal outdoor ambient noise.
And this nothing coming from this object, just no light. It's so weird.
Yeah. Strange.
Interesting. Yes, people in the chat saying maybe it's a prolapsed black hole. We're getting the tail end of it. Who knows? That's wild story. That was a quick one. What's your other one? Oh, someone in the chat says, any smells, any unique smells? Like anything other that when you were out there that kind of like sticks with you?
Oh, like brimstone and ether and that kind of stuff? No, it was pretty normal other than the giant void.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Okay, well, what else you got for us?
Well, this one can be quick, too. This is just a weird one. I don't claim to be religious or anything like that, but the strangest thing happened to me, actually, in the same town, about 4 or 5 years afterwards. We had a house fire, completely destroyed everything, which is whatever. But the only thing in the house that was untouched was the family Bible, and it was you know, one of those big, like 12 by like huge ones, like the big thick ones,
King
white
James.
Leather bound. And it was inside of a cabinet that was like 80% burnt to the ground. And it was next to, you remember those peanut butter jars shaped like bears?
Yeah.
With the coin slot?
Yeah.
It was next to one of those in the bottom of this cabinet, and the cabinet burned basically to the ground. And the Bible was sitting next to that thing, and the jar with the lid and that coin slot was full of water from the fire efforts. And that Bible next to that jar was in pristine condition.
Weird. It's just,
everything, the whole, we lost everything. The house, everything was gone. And it was just like the strangest thing.
That is a weird one. It's just weird. I mean, I'm from an area where I was born in an area where like wildfires are quite common. So it's like, you know, you would see like the weird phenomena where it's like a whole neighborhood would just get absolutely torched, and like the center house would be like, you know, pristine. So I'm kind of used to seeing those kind of like, I'm used to fire being weird. You know what I mean? Having weird phenomena like that. But like the fact that it's a Bible, sure. Was this Bible, someone in the chat saying, what is this, bound in human flesh?
Well, who knows? I don't know. I don't think so, but you never know with that kind of stuff.
It just adds a like just the fact that it's like you're like the Bible of everything weird, like so weird.
Yeah, very, very weird. Very weird. Anyway, those are my two stories. I just wanted to give a shout out to my buddy Cody, who's been bugging me to call for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks.
Hey, thanks.
Long time listener.
Thanks, Cody, for getting you to call. This show dies without callers, so I appreciate it.
Well, right on. I will get off for the next caller and continue on with the cosmic channeling.
Perfect. Take care of yourself.
All right. Cheers.
Bye. That's so weird, man. The Bible stuff. I instantly, anytime someone says anything like, oh, the Bible is saved, I'm like, I instantly get like Poltergeist, Ed and Lorraine Warren vibes. I don't know. That shit creeps me out just as much. Someone was on hold and they called back, obviously. Perfect. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Iva and I'm from the Midwest.
Hi, Iva. Were you by any chance a winner of a meat draw?
I was, and I felt so bad because I was like, oh, I know that they've got stuff going on and I don't want to bother them. And that typical Midwest thing where I'm too nice.
That's all good. You got your stuff, right?
I love the shirts.
Oh, beautiful. Yes, awesome. I thought.
Yep, and I wear them to work all the time.
Perfect.
So.
Lovely. I recognize the name. It's a unique name. So I was like,
yes,
oh.
It is very unique. Yes.
Yeah. Iva, what do you got for us tonight?
So, this is going to be something that I don't have a lot of information on yet, but it's going to kind of progress. So my husband and I actually just bought our first house, and so we're going to be moving here. And when the house kind of came up, we didn't really know much about it. We knew that my husband's coworker slash really good friend knew the couple that lived in there, and so we were kind of looking into it. And right before we were going to go meet the seller and look at the house, we pull up and my husband goes, don't say anything, but the previous owner committed suicide on the property. And I was like, oh, I'm like, thanks for letting me know that. And he's like, well, he said, I didn't want to, you know, freak out because he knows that, you know, I fully believe in the paranormal and he's very skeptical. And I've had things happen to me as a kid and in high school even, and I was like, yeah, there's unexplainable stuff that happens and I'm not going to jump to conclusions, but there is weird stuff. And so he's like, oh, you know, I know you're superstitious. I was like, well, I wouldn't call it that, but
yeah, you're like, I'm a little tish-ish.
Yeah. Just a little bit. And so, and he's like, and, the widow is showing the house. I was like, okay. I'll definitely make sure not to say anything.
Yeah.
And so
did she just burst out crying in one of the rooms?
What?
Did she burst out crying in one of the rooms when she's showing you around?
Well,
this sounds like a terrible experience.
Yeah, exactly. And so when we first pull up, like, she's standing outside with a friend of hers, and, you know, we talk about the house, and she's like, yeah, you guys go ahead and go in and look around. So I'm like, okay, obviously it probably happened in the house, because, you know, that's like your first thought. And I know it's super dark, but, and Josh, my husband, is like, yeah, you know, it could have happened in the barn, because it's like a 10-acre property. It's got a big barn and stuff like that. So he's like, yeah, it could have happened in the barn. You never know. And I'm like, well, usually it doesn't, but okay.
Well, and so if you're anything like me, I would be like, yeah, I'm going to need to know exactly where this happened.
Well, exactly. And I'm like, and your coworker slash good friend was best friends with the guy. And I'm like, so he knows. And he's like, well, it could be a sensitive subject. I don't want to ask. And I'm like, well, if you're not going to ask, I'll ask. Yeah. Like, I don't care. But so we're walking through the house, and she stays outside for a while, and then she comes in and talks to us and acts like nothing is wrong. And I'm like, okay, that's a little weird, but, you know, I'm going to, you know, maybe trauma, it does weird things. So yeah. I kind of brushed it off. And then after we had looked at the house, you know, my husband's friend had asked, he's like, so what'd you think? And he's like, oh yeah, you know, it needs some work, but it'd be perfect for us and all, because we have livestock and all. And he's like, yeah. And so my husband's kind of like, well, I don't want to, you know, upset you or anything, but what exactly happened? And he said, well, it was kind of a weird thing. He said, and they're not really sure if it was a suicide or not. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So he said that they had a big party over at the house, and he had been invited to it, but he didn't end up going because it was on a weeknight. And he's like, I'll be there until super late, and then I'll have to drive home. And I don't know if I mentioned, but it's like out in the country in a very rural part of the world. The nearest town other than the one that it's right next to is like 30 minutes to an hour away. So he didn't end up going. And then I guess 10 minutes after everybody left, the wife had called one of the people that had been at the party and said that he had shot himself in front of her. And there was this big investigation. And her story was that she wrestled the gun out of his hands, but it went off in the master bedroom. But some wonder if she shot him because she had the gunpowder residue on his hands. So obviously I'm like, okay, that makes it even worse. Yeah. That we're getting this place and also have to do major renovations. And then, so I was like, okay, you know, I'll kind of forget about it. And then I found out also that it happened literally just a year ago. So it's a very fresh thing that happened. And then we were going through the house later and, you know, looking at things closer when she wasn't there, you know, a couple months later. And I was taking videos and pictures for like long distance friends and stuff. And I am panning through the bedroom, and there, for a lack of better word, is bleed through the wallpaper.
Sorry, you just cut out for a second. There was what coming through the wallpaper?
For a lack of better term, there was like bleed through the wallpaper.
Oh no, I definitely, yeah. I was hoping I heard you wrong.
Yeah.
And it, I did not.
I immediately froze, and my husband looks at me. He's like, what's wrong? And I said, I found it. And he goes, what? And I just kind of nodded my head towards it. He's like, oh, okay. I said, yeah, we're going to have to paint that. And so my husband was talking to his friend a little bit more because he's like, is your wife, you know, back on the term of superstitious? And my husband's like, yeah. And he's like, well, he's like, I wouldn't be too worried because he was a really great guy. This, you know, 6 foot yeah. five, big burly dude.
Oh, that's just the kind of ghost, like, you want.
Yeah, exactly. And then he said, and he's like, he had like the girliest giggle. And I told Josh, my husband, I was like, that's even worse because I don't want to hear any giggling at night.
Yeah.
At all. And then he said, the worst thing that'll happen is that your whiskey will start going missing, because he was a big whiskey guy.
Yeah.
So I said, well, we'll definitely have to pour one out for him when we move. But yeah. Here recently, we went back over to the house because we went the day we closed, we went over and, you know, obviously kind of celebrated. And we heard like creaking and stuff, but we're just like, nope, we're going to chalk that up to the wind. You know, it's nothing, it's nothing. And so, yeah. And then, my husband's friend that was telling us all about it, he's like, oh yeah, I don't believe in that stuff. You know, nothing's going to happen to you guys. It'll be fine. And then we had a propane tank out there that they have to fill up. And my husband had asked him if he could like stop by and make sure that the heat was on. Well, he didn't get there until dark. And he had called my husband. He's like, I hope you didn't want me to go in there. He said, because I don't want to see him. He's like, I didn't go in because I didn't want to walk in and see my buddy's ghost. And I'm like, okay, you're sitting here telling me, oh, don't be superstitious. Nothing's going to happen. And then you're too afraid to go into the house and yeah. look for us to make sure the heat's working. So we're actually going there this weekend to do a bunch of big renovations, like completely ripping out the master bathroom. So I have a feeling if anything's going to happen, it's going to start happening after we start doing all of these home improvements.
Well, there's two things. One, I'm fascinated because this is like, you know, everything you hear about somewhere that could be potentially haunted, like this has it.
It's got all the check
marks. Yeah, and you've already started to hear the creak. So on one hand, I want to be really selfish. I want to be like, document everything, call us back all the time, yeah. And let us know how things are going. Get yourself an EMF, right? and all this stuff. The other part of me wants to say, like, you know, what I've seen though is like when researching a lot of these cases is like, you must want to pay it no mind, because the more you pay attention to it, this stuff happening, it always seems like it kind of gets worse when you give exactly. conscious thought to it. So it's like it's a tough one. You're in a tough spot because you're moving into a potentially, you know, and yeah, it's lovely if he was a happy person, but if like, you know, obviously he wasn't that happy if he committed suicide. And or if he was murdered, you know, maybe he's a little upset about that, right?
Exactly.
So it's like either one of those, I'm kind of like, and I don't want to make light of the dead, but it's like, you know, it's definitely, you're definitely looking at, I hope you got a good deal on the house. I mean, that's.
Yeah, I mean, kind of, there were some things that we found out later that was like, oh, that wasn't great. And so, but yeah, I mean, for the amount of property and the house itself, it was a pretty good deal. But we were just joking, and like you said, you know, we don't want to pay it too much mind, but also at the same time, it's just always going to be there, you know, you thinking, oh gosh, what was that? You know, we know that he died here.
I'll tell you, buying an EMF reader is the worst thing that I've ever done, because now whenever I hear a noise, I like grab it right away, and I'm like waving it on the walls and stuff. It's terrifying. So
Well, and I told my parents, I'm like, well, you know, we bought a farm, obviously we have to have a ghost that goes with our farmhouse, right?
Yeah. Well,
and then there's the local cemetery is just right across the farm field too. Yeah. So that just makes it even better. You can literally see it through the back door. So it's like, oh, that's just adding to it even more. Well, so
you're gonna have your own like the search for Skinwalker Ranch TLC or show on History Channel soon.
I know. I'm
Zach Baggins. You're going to meet Zach Baggins if this continues.
And
it gets worse. So.
And so I was like, yeah, I have to call in and tell him, because I was like, because stuff is going to start happening now, probably, you know. And I've been a long time listener. I've listened for almost 3 years now. I've never called. This is my first time calling. But I was like, I got to tell him what's going on, because now we're about to go in for the first time and really rip some stuff up. And so this will be the time that stuff starts happening.
You know what? I love it. It's kind of like an experiment for you and our listeners at Cosmic Channels, because then it's like, you know, we can wait. We can see if, you know, is Iva going to call back? Does stuff get worse? You know, or is there nothing, right? So, you know, it's going to be one of those ones where, like, you know, in 4 weeks, if you call back, we're going to be like, oh, no, Iva, what's happening?
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah, exactly. I'm just like, oh, this will be experience. And we have cats and dogs. I'm like, if they start growling or, like, staring at spots in the house, I'm just going to be like, we need to get a priest. We need to get saved. Okay, I don't care. Yeah, we're doing it all, whatever it takes.
If stuff does, you know, if the worst happens and stuff does start happening, dates, times, little description, right? So then
I'll let you guys know first, for sure.
Perfect. Iva, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, thank you.
I can't wait to take this journey together.
Yes, exactly.
From safe on Island Studios, where I don't have to deal with it. But
yeah, there you go.
All right, take care of yourself.
Yeah, you too.
Bye. We got time for one more caller. If someone was on hold there and wants to call back, that's terrifying, because you're like, it's one of those things when you're looking at a house, especially for me and people that are superstitious or have had experiences, the second you start hearing stuff like that, you're like, God damn it. That'd be the first thing in the back of my mind is, oh my God, what am I going to have to deal with here? I'm going to be possessed. I'm going to get sucked into the TV. Obviously, this is what's going to happen. We're going to have Ed and Lorraine Warren's kids come and exorcise the demons out of this house. But we got the last caller on the line. Let's bring him on. Cosmic Channels, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, what's up, guys? Long time prolapser. First time caller. I think I started on episode 4, Sweet Baby Alien Jesus.
Oh, yeah, that's a good episode. And
after 5, I was hooked. So, I had a quick theory, and this is an old one, on the Yuba County 5 episode.
Yeah.
So, basically, when I was listening to it, and I'm...
Hold on, just one second before you get in it. Just for anyone who hasn't heard, I'm just going to plug it. We do a Yuba County 5 episode, fascinating missing person case. 5 people with disabilities driving home from a basketball game. Do not end up home. They end up way up in the mountains. They find their car, and they're lost in a snowstorm. You know, in the summer months, hikers go up to a remote cabin. They find the bodies of some of the people. One person's not accounted for. They have no idea why they would have driven up there, hiked way up into the woods to this cabin in the middle of a blizzard, not dressed for it. And then basically just waited there till die. Mysterious.
Yeah, really rough case.
Yeah. They know, like, no, it's really, you know, it's a sad one all around, but let's hear your theory. I want to hear it.
Okay. Once again, forgot to tell you where I'm from. I'm from Kentucky.
Yeah.
My name is Seth. I used to work in the prison system, so I have some stories, friends of a friend, and kind of leads me to my theory here.
Yeah.
I'm also an experienced hiker. I'm in the woods. I do caving all the time, things like that. So when I was listening to it, as someone who's familiar with, you know, seeing drugs and people that have been on drugs, I'm aware that they can affect people with certain disabilities a little bit more extreme. And when I found out, you know, from listening to the episode that Gary, I can't remember his last name, he used to have a drug problem, but he also had friends in the town that they went missing at. And if I remember correctly, it's been a minute, forgive me, but he was like making a phone call in a pay booth at a store right before they went missing. And then all of a sudden their car's in the middle of nowhere. They're hiking up in the woods. They're freezing to death. They're all separated. No one can figure it out. Well, I kind of had a theory that it was just Occam's razor, that maybe his old drug issues came back.
We're flaring
maybe
up.
Maybe his buddy. Yeah, we're flaring up. And those buddies that he had in that town were some of his old user friends. And they're like, oh, hey, guys, you should try this. Well, you know, they had disabilities and maybe they weren't, you know, able to sometimes make the correct decisions and trusted him. So they thought, oh, yeah, well, we'll try these drugs. What's the worst that could happen? And the next thing you know, maybe they're hallucinating, maybe they're, you know, overdosing, who knows, because drugs can have various effects on people. And they park and they're like, oh, let's go hiking. And one thing led to another. And I think possibly they just had a really, really bad drug episode. And I noticed that wasn't really a theory that I'd read anywhere. But, you know, seeing people from my old profession, which I no longer do, thankfully, I've seen some pretty rough cases of people, yeah, you know, hallucinating and things like that.
No, it's and to be honest, like, yeah, people I've been in through various jobs and stuff have had the unfortunate experience of dealing with people like really hallucinating, even like hallucinating from alcohol withdrawals. Like it's people are wild. Like it is like a beast, like different beasts. People don't understand when people are truly like out of their mind, how bad it can be. The one thing I have an issue with that, because I have thought about this, like that's the Yuba County 5 is one of those cases that haunts me, because you know, I volunteer with Special Olympics a lot of time. And the one issue I have with that, because I have thought of that, you know, I'm telling you right now that if I, and some of these guys, like some of these guys were Special Olympians, right? Like they were, you know, they had special needs. I could not take three Special Olympians that I volunteer with, take them, and I could not, no matter how much I peer pressure those guys, they're too good. They're like, we're not doing drugs. Drugs are bad. I'm not doing them. Like they would never touch them. They wouldn't touch alcohol. Like you couldn't peer pressure to them to do it. And I'm not saying that I know these other four guys that were with Gary, so I have no idea. The other thing,
well, they seem like stand up individuals. They really did.
Yes. The other thing, the other issue that always bugs me about this case is there's the secondary witness, the first one who saw them at this convenience store with Gary making the phone call. The next time they're seen is by someone in the mountains with a pregnant lady. Right? Who saw five.
That's pretty insane.
Right? And you're like, well, who the hell is that pregnant lady? So it's a hard.
Pregnant lady, someone that came forward?
No. Just someone driving down said they saw a car, that car, that specific car, because the car was found abandoned. Right?
Right.
Someone came down and reported to the police that they saw that car, and they saw four or five men standing outside the car with the headlights and a pregnant woman. And like, we have no account of where that pregnant woman came from or why she would be there.
The other guy, riddle me this, Batman, sorry to interrupt, but what if the guy who came forward to report, oh, he saw this vehicle, was actually the buddy who sold him the drugs? If we was to take a step in that direction, and then he like, oh, well, if I call it in, they're not going to suspect me.
Yeah, I mean, potentially. And that's not uncommon. That's not uncommon for guilty people to be the first one to call. I mean, I've heard dozens of cases of the guilty person is the first one to ID the body. Oh, I know that person. You know what I mean? They just can't, almost
trying
can't
to get out of it.
Yeah, they're just they can't help themselves. It's an interesting theory. Because Gary, I do like that, because Gary's never been found. Gary's remains have never been found. Right, and he's never been accounted for. So it's...
Right, yeah, that's so strange. Like, well, even if it was a drug incident, maybe did he, like, go in hiding? Was it his fault? Like, who knows? Maybe he saw it coming and is like, I got to get out of here. I mean, you don't know, because you just don't know what those conversations were that they were having on the way there. Like, why were they even up there in the first place? You know, up in the woods, out of nowhere. You just don't know.
What's it called? Okay. I got to bring this up because every time when we did this case, when I go volunteer for Special Olympics, they always ask, oh, what are you talking about? And I told them this one. I said, it's kind of interesting. Some Special Olympians went missing. And I told them. And one of the guys had a theory that I still think is the only theory that accounts for the pregnant woman. And he says, well, it's obviously a Yurigomo, which is a Japanese spider demon that takes the shape of a pregnant lady and lures people. Yeah, and lures people to their death. Right.
Yeah, the Japanese or the Asian culture in general, their cryptids are terrifying,
dude. Right. And this thing sometimes takes the shape of a pregnant lady. So I'm like, I was like, that's a good one. But if you're listening to this and you're like, I don't know what the Yuba County Five is, look it up. There's 1,000 podcasts on. There's thousands of articles. It's a fascinating case that is unsolved. They just don't know.
That one, and like the Diatlov Pass, if you guys are listening to this for the first time, check that one out. I think just watch everything. Yeah. Just binge watch it.
There's another one in the hills in Russia too that is really weird. We did once. The name is eluding me right now, but some of those missing people ones are wild. And we're going to do one. We've got a really good case file coming up. I don't even want to give the name because I don't want people looking it up. But we got a really good missing person, really interesting missing person one coming up. Hey, thanks so much for calling in and sharing it. I love when people do that, because you don't have to call in if you don't have a story. If you were like, I heard some, I got a fucking theory, call in. We can hash it out. I love doing that. So it's great. Thank you so much for, and you're one of the first people to do that.
As an avid hiker and outdoorsman, stuff like that is like it's particularly interesting, you know. Real quick, just big shout out to you guys. Like I said, funny story. I found you guys by typing in alien on Spotify and sweet baby alien Jesus came up. And I'm like, oh, now I've just got to click this. Right. You have to.
Yeah, you're like, I got to check it out.
One something else that you might find funny. There was a long time ago on Cosmic Channels, a person called in under the handle of Jericho. And he talked about seeing, you may remember this, or not seeing, but hearing heavy breathing in a cave in the Danny Boone National Forest and a rock getting thrown next to him.
Yes, I do remember that.
Hey, Jericho, if you're listening, that could have been me. I'm an avid caver, and if I see other people coming into the caves, I will try my best to avoid them.
That was weird. Did I just lose internet connection? Am I still streaming? Weird. Terrifying. Okay, well, I don't know what happened there. That was weird. But just like that, the cosmic lines are now closed. I have no idea. I hope he's okay. I don't know who lost connection there. Quickly before we end the show, whole bunch of shout outs. Man, I didn't have a time between calls to thank people for, you know, chipping in and helping grow the show. We got some Bandito Frito, giant donation. That actually moves her into the third spot up there for supporters of the show. Jeff Fentry, thank you for supporting the show. I saw a bunch in the chat here I'm trying to get back to here. Let's see if I can find Shadower C. Oh, a longtime supporter of the show. Thank you so much. We had Chango with a big $20 donation. Thank you, Chango. And I know I think we had one more, Invalid ID. Thank you so much. You know, longtime fans of the show. We can't do the show without you. I can't do the show without you. It's your show. I just host it. Everything I raise, I put right back into it. So, you know, we're growing the show together. I can't thank everyone enough. This is the last 4 weeks, the amount of outpouring support for Cosmic Channels on our socials, people listening to the show. And, you know, I'm happy to announce that 7.6, we hit the most concurrent viewers we've ever had watching a live stream. Just thank you. Thank you so much. This is your show. I just host it. And let's keep the calls rolling. It's a really fun show, community show to do. So let's keep it rolling. And if you want to stick around for after hours for the stockholders meeting, just hang around in the live stream. But that's it for Cosmic Channels this week. We'll see you next Thursday, same time, same place. The lines are now closed.
Jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.